Right. Okay. Good evening. So we're now in the period between Pesach and Shavuot. And so we have a maimah here, a discourse. Gam na'ul l'achoti kala. L'achoti kala. It's on a verse in Song of Songs. And it was said, the third of Iyar, Toshin Mem Zayin, 1987, which is exactly 30 years ago. So this discourse on this verse in the Song of Songs is taking the theme of marriage and it's moving from Pesach to Shavuot with the idea of Shavuot being the marriage of the Jewish people to God, which is the imagery that's used in the Zohar. When we have the whole idea of Tikkun Leil Shavuot, and there's a kind of a set series of texts to study on the night of Shavuot, and part of it is from the Zohar in Emor, which talks about a kind of a marriage atmosphere of the Jewish people and Hashem. And so the 7 weeks leading up to that marriage between Pesach and Shavuot, that's this time of preparation leading to that union. And what the discourse does is it takes the idea of Pesach and the relationship of the Jewish people with God as and the mitzvahs of the actual Korban Pesach and the initial relationship with God through the going out of Egypt is the kind of initial step, like the Erusin, the Kiddushin, the betrothal. And then that leads to marriage, actually, with Hashem at Shavuot. So at the last page, we have it's actually the translation here of the Song of Songs. And we're looking at verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12, which Gan no'ul achoisi kalo, gal no'ul mayon chosum. So translated here, you're a locked garden, my sister, my bride, a locked fountain, a spring sealed up. So here you have this, you see gan is a garden, and then there's gal. Gal can mean a wave, a flow, something flowing, but it's, and then Mayon. Mayon is a spring or a fountain. So you got the idea of a garden and also some kind of flowing spring or something or something like that, which is it's just yeah. So there'll be a little bit of discussion about different ways of interpreting this. Rashi says on Gal No'ul, he says you could explain it as Mayon, and you could explain it as a gate. So a locked gate might be another way of translating it. But there we have this concept of this locked garden. And that is the description of the bride, and that is the beginning of the discourse. So we're going to try and unlock the heart in order to enter this discourse, to let it enter us by singing the minor negah. Ya yamba yamba yomba bo ya yana yana yomba ya yamba 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 yom ha yamba ya yamba yom oh ya yele lamba yamba ya ya yele lamba yamba ya ya yele lamba ya yele lamba yo ba ya yamba yamba ba ha ya yamba yamba ba ha ba ha yamba ya yo ho ya ya yamba ya ya A locked garden is my sister, my bride. Gal no ul mayon chosum, a locked fountain, a sealed fountain. Umevi ad mu marash bal yom ha'aledes to beisia, and the Rebbe Marash, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Reb Shmuel, who was born on Beis Ir. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Ir, and so the second of Ir is going to be Friday. So he says in his Maima, V'hamayma de Parshas Tazvir Metzoda V'hemshech Matzazu Tofresh Mem. In 1880, he gave the thing about Reb Shmuel, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe. He began the concept of having a series of mamorim, which might go on for months and months, that week after week, there is a maimer. The maimer connects to the sedra at the beginning and at the end, but in the middle, it continues the previous maimer. And that's called the Hemshech. And therefore, through a Hemshech, through this like long extended chain of Mamorim, an idea can be developed in an immense, absolutely amazing way. And it's in the Rebbe Marash's Mamorim, in his discourses, that you have this most, first developed. And it was then continued by his son, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and by the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe as well, not in the same way by our Rebbe, the seventh Rebbe, sometimes, but not to the same extent. They sometimes have Mamorim which like continue, or they're in the same theme, but not in the same way that you have one concept going for months and months and months being developed, or more than a year sometimes, developing one single concept in an absolutely amazing way. So he gave Hemshech, which began Matzazu, it's a Pesach Maimah, and then that continues on, and he continue, and so this Maimah of Tazria Matzorah is part of that series. So he brings there Pirush HaTagum, what the Targum says. Because the Targum says as follows. See, the Targum, the Aramaic translation of Tanakh, and in the Chumash there's Targum Onkelos and Targum Yonos, and in Tanakh it's basically Targum Yonos. So there's a long Targum, which is quite a midrashic Targum. It's a lot of explanation on Shir HaShirim. See, if you look at it over here, you can see that's the Shir HaShirim and that's the Targum. You can see the Targum is much longer than the actual Shir HaShirim. It's written in much smaller letters and it covers more inches, so it's a longer text. So he's quoting here from the, or explaining, he's summarizing what the Targum says. The Kemoshe Gan Eden, like Gan Eden, who know it's locked, this garden is locked, the Eif Shalikanisbay, and it's impossible to enter the Garden of Eden, or this garden, Kiim Navshois Hatzadikim, the souls of the tzaddikim. Cain Yisrael, similarly the Jewish people, Oigdin Pischehem Lebalo, they keep their entrance locked solely, exclusively Lebalom, for their husband Zer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. So in other words, they're dedicated to God. They are totally faithful to God, exclusively, like Gan Eden, which is locked and only is for the tzaddikim. So the Jewish people are locked and only for Hashem. Omavaya Bar Maimon, it explains in the discourse of Reb Shmuel of the Maharash, the Gan of that 1818, the Gan Hu Tainuk, that the whole idea of the garden, what does it mean, the garden? It's Tainuk, delight, pleasure. The Inyan Gan Noel, and the idea of the locked garden, Hu She'ena Tainuk Rak Be'elukus, that the only place, the only domain that the person gets this pleasure and delight from is from godliness. The Im Choloi Chofatzti, as the verse says, I want nothing, I desire nothing apart from you, so the whole Tainuk, the whole pleasure of life is something that comes from Elukus, and so everything else that we might think of as something which is a delight or pleasurable is seen as a channel for a connection with God. And so therefore, there is a divine dimension in the life of this person. Doesn't mean, if we're looking at it in terms of the Hasidic movement, it doesn't mean that the person is locking themselves away from life, but it does mean that the way in which they approach everything in life is to find a spiritual dimension, and that it's the godly aspect of everything which is in existence, which is what is their real delight. And they do not stray from that spiritual focus. Or Lahoya, and to make the comment, Shabbat Maimah Shilifneza, the discourse before that of the Maharash, Mavaya de Ganol Husumera. See, the Maharash said a previous discourse before that one, and that previous discourse was from Parsha Shmini. See, there was Pesach, then there was Parsha Shmini, then there was this week's Parsha. Each week he was saying a Maimah, which is written down, we've got them. And so the one before also took the same verse and explained it as Sumira, as turning away from bad. The Inyan Sumira, the idea of Sumira, who be'ikah b'pol mamash, means in practical terms, keeping away from negative things. The locked garden is like not allowing oneself to indulge in something which is negative. V'hachidush b'maimazeh, and the new point in this next week's Maimah of Tazria Metzorah in 1880, al v'pidush ha-Targum, using the comment, the explanation that the Targum gives, who the Gan Nol Hu Shigama Tainuk Shaloi Hu Rak Belukus, is that the locked garden means not only, like in the previous week, he keeps away from doing bad things which are forbidden, but even when he does good things which are permitted, the only way in which he does them is that his delight or her delight in that thing is the godliness which is in the thing. So it's like a step further. The earlier Maimah spoke about the keeping away from something negative, that's the locked garden, so it's locked, so the only kosher, positive things are there allowed into the garden, into one's life. And the next stage, in the next week's Maimah, is that one's way of taking the permitted world is in such a way that one's tainug, one's delight, is only in the divine dimension. So you can eat kosher food, and the kosher food can be something which is very tasty, or what one is tasting in the food is the mitzvah which is in the food, the spirituality which is in the food, like Shabbos food or eating matzah on Pesach, you know, the delight of eating matzah the first night or the Seder night. Did you enjoy that, Akiva, eating the matzah? Suddenly you're doing this tremendous mitzvah, munching away.
Enjoying eating matzah.
Do you think that's a strange idea?
Yeah.
Mitzvah munching. That's very catchy phrase.
Well, eating matzah can be seen as an ecstatic activity. Mitzvah. But
it has a chocolate top.
People swooning with the spirituality of it. Having to be revived by pouring wine. Okay. Now then, we have another pirush on this, which is from Metzudas Dovid. This is in the next paragraph. Hineba Metzudas Dovid ala pasuk meforesh. Metzudas Dovid, on the same verse, explains, She Yisrael heim kegan nol. The Jewish people are like a locked garden. She ein mi sheyuchol levoy, boy, no one can come into it, ki im baal hagan, except for the owner of the garden. But tzorich lahavin, now we have to understand this. Harizeh sheganu tainug, hugam begam kipshuta. The idea of a garden being delight, representing the person's delight, and that the delight is locked, that applies also to an ordinary garden. Gam kipshuta, just simply literally a garden, that's what gardens are. Gardens are pleasant spaces. They are places which are planted in order for a person to be able to relax and feel good. They're not like a field growing corn where it's got a commercial. Direct commercial and direct purpose. Whereas a garden is something for enjoyment. The imkain, and therefore, gam mahamoshel degan nol kipshute, even if you just took the idea of the locked garden in its simple sense, Muvan, you can understand the inyan oydim pischein. You could understand the idea of restricting oneself, locking the entrance. Hu shahatainuk shaloi hu rak velikus means the same as we had in the first thing, that one's delight is only in godliness. So in other words, we could follow the Metzudas Dovid in its way of understanding it, though it just means a garden, not that it's Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, it's just a garden. And we could have the whole imagery that we had, that one's delight is only in godliness. Uma mitosef ba'avonas ha'inyan. What is added to our understanding of this? The Yisrael oigdim pischein, that the Jewish people are very selective about what they take pleasure from. They close the entrance exclusively and only open it for God. Al yedea perush, through the explanation that we had of the Targum, shegan nol koi al gan Eden, that the locked garden means the Garden of Eden. So in other words, you can have the whole idea that the Jewish people, they restrict their delight only to God. That's what they want to get their delight from. By just saying a garden. A garden is a garden, a place for delight. You don't have to say the Garden of Eden. So what extra is being expressed by the Targum talking about the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden? Or befrat the Gan Nol b'Pashtus, and especially through the fact that the locked garden in its simple literal sense, Kepirush Metzudas Dovid, as explained in Metzudas Dovid, Masim l'cho'era yoysal an-nimsho. In fact, it seems to match, at first sight, it seems to match better the Nimshol, what we are trying to talk about, the Jewish people and their relationship with God. The Kivan Shagan Nol Ba Nimshol, since the locked garden in what we actually talking about, Hu Hatainuk Shola Adam, it's the person, Yisrael, the Jewish person's delight, Shuhu Nol V'Soga, which is locked and closed, Mil Hisanik B'Tanuge Ha'olam, rather than take delight in delights of the world, he only wants to have delight from spiritual, godly things. Hari ha-moshel ha-masim l'zeh l'cho'ayda hu migan stam. It would seem that the best moshel, the best parable for that, is simply a garden. V'loma meforesh ha-targum, why does the Targum have to give the extra explanation? Shegan nol koi al gan Eden, that the locked garden is the Garden of Eden, shehu melechatchila ha-tainuk belakus, which from the very beginning is a godly is a tainug, is a delight in godliness. You know, it's almost, it's as if the Targum it's going about this in a more complicated way, that the Garden of Eden in itself is immediately a delight in godliness. So it's, what extra is the Targum telling us about this whole image, by saying that the garden is the Garden of Eden? Alright, so we have here a basic concept, which itself is a very beautiful concept. See, there's two levels. There's the basic story, the basic idea that there is a garden and we represent that garden. And the dimension of tainug within the person, the dimension of pleasure within the person, which is in many ways the deepest dimension of the person. Now that is restricted for godliness, and that sense of dedication to God. Here it is, we came out of Egypt, we're coming towards the giving of Torah, of the Torah at Mount Sinai. So there is this sense of total focus on God and dedication to God. And then we have the image, the way in which this is expressed through a verse in Song of Songs, which is a part of the Torah, of the Tanakh, which talks about in the image of a king and his bride, but it's the image of God and the Jewish people. So then we have the extra dimension of the way in which different commentators, the Targum being one and the simple explanation of the Metsudas being the other, and so we have this extra dimension which is introduced by the Targum, that the garden itself is the Garden of Eden. So that's, and so the question that the discourse is asking, what is the added point that we're getting from that? V'yuvan zeh, and this will be understood al pi mash kos ba maimer, according to what we learn in the maimer of the Rebbe Marash, the gandol hu ke'inin ha-kiddushin, the locked garden is like betrothal, kiddushin. U'mevay zeh al pi ha-yadur be'inin kadshenu b'mitzvah secho v'sein chalkenu b'soyra secho. There's the whole idea in our relationship with God, which is expressed in the Shabbos and Yom Tov davening, where we say to God, sanctify us with your mitzvahs and give our portion in your Torah. Now, kadshenu b'mitzvah secha, sanctify us with your mitzvahs, hu milashon kiddushin. The Maimer is telling us a striking idea that might not have occurred to us, that when we say sanctify us with your mitzvahs, that is the kiddushin, that's the betrothal. Now, what's the betrothal? The betrothal is, under the chuppah, the chosun puts a ring on the bride's finger. He's giving her something. The essence of betrothal, as we see in the Masechet Gemara called kiddushin, the essence of betrothal is the chosun giving something to the bride, whatever it is. Our minhag, very, very ancient, time-honored minhag, of giving a ring, but it could in fact be anything. And so the fact of, which belongs to the chosin and is worth a pruta, and he, a small coin, and he gives that to the bride, and he says, behold, you are betrothed to me with this ring, or whatever it might be. When you look at Shilas and Chubas, you sometimes see all kinds of peculiar things happening with people illicitly of the 19th century or something. You know, people illicitly betrothing each other with something or other, and that leading to learned rabbis writing a long response in order to extricate them from this situation, or not, as the case may be.
Even going back to time to the Gemara.
Yes, oh yeah, all kinds of interesting things, yeah. With dates.
you mean being
with dates? Mm.
Yeah. And also saying all sorts of expressions, not instead of hurry out.
Yeah. And she says to him, "Don't kid me."
you reserve for me.
Yes.
You know, all that stuff.
Yeah. So.
What are you going to use? I was asking what he's going to use.
Listen carefully.
In this version.
So, Kadshenu b'mitzvah secho, sanctifies with your commandments, is the kiddushin. In other words, the mitzvahs are a kind of kiddushin, are a kind of betrothal gift that God is giving us. The inyan ha-kiddushin u'azmona, because the idea of kiddushin is a preparation, an invitation. Shaha'isha ha-miskadeshes, because the woman who's being betrothed, he mezumenes u'miyuchedes levayla, she is now prepared and singled out for her husband, and through the fact of her having kedushin from the husband, who's really the future husband, she is now forbidden to everyone else. See, that's the interesting thing. It used to be that giving the ring or whatever was the first stage of marriage, and several months later would come the second stage, which is the actual chuppah, the actual nisuin. And what it means is that after this first stage, while they are not yet man and wife, and they can't live together as man and wife, but she is forbidden to anyone else, and she would need a divorce from her husband in order to marry anyone else. So, therefore, the first stage is that she is forbidden to the rest of the world. Then we have the next part of the pasuk, of the verse, V'sein chalkeinu v'soda secho, put our portion in your Torah, hu inyan hanisuin. That is the actual marriage. Hamshocha b'pnimius, a flow which comes in an inward way, v'ad sha'odam koilites hamshocha, till the person absorbs that flow, v'ad sh'nasis chalkeinu, that it becomes our portion. It's not just chalkecha, it's not your portion, God, it's our portion, the Israel, that the Torah, God giving the Torah to the Jewish people, it becomes our Torah, which the Gemara speaks about, the idea of the Torah soy, the idea of the Torah becoming one's own through the fact that one is learning Torah and being machadish and saying new ideas in Torah, it becomes one's own Torah. God gives us the Torah and it becomes ours. V'zeo kadshenu v'mitzvah secho, so going back to this verse, or this phrase from the davening, sanctify us with your mitzvahs, v'sein chalkeinu v'soda secho, and give our portion with your Torah, dam shocho sh'adidei mitzvahs u'bevchinas makif, the flow which comes from the mitzvahs is a surrounding flow. U'pu'ulus ba'odom ha'makaymes ha'mitzvah hu be'ikah, and the main effect on the person keeping the mitzvah is mainly she'emuvdul mahataybus umikol midas ra'os, is that the person should be separated from desires or negative desires and all bad emotional attributes. But dugmas kedushin, like betrothal. The zesha ishim is kadeshes lebaila, because the fact that the woman is betrothed by her husband, is betrothed to her husband, who be'ikah zeshi neseris al kol ha'olam, is because she is mainly that she's forbidden to the rest of the world, which means we are forbidden to have bad emotional attributes and to desire things which are forbidden. Val yedei zehu naseh kli likloit o ha'Torah, and through this we become a vessel to absorb the radiance of the Torah, as it says about the Torah, a verse, your Torah is inside my inwards, nisuin, which is marriage. So if we are going to represent this graphically, let's imagine that it's something like this, that we have the like the person, and then we have two levels of connection with the divine. So one level of connection with the divine is this sort of this outer circle which is surrounding the person, and that is the sanctifies with your mitzvahs. So that is the mitzvahs which are surrounding the person and which in a sense keep the person away from negativity. Yes, so outside there lurks negativity, and this circle around him, this moat around him, is keeping him away from that negativity. But then we have the actual Torah, which is inside, And that is the real flow of Torah, which goes within the person. So this first level is like betrothal. And then we have within, we have the idea of marriage. So there we have two stages in the person's relationship with Hashem. And the first stage is one of the protection of the person, as it were. So once the woman is betrothed, she's betrothed to this man. No one else can take her, no one else can come near. She is betrothed simply to this person. But then comes the further stage, the inward flow, which is Torah within the person. V'yesh lahosef among kanat, shahadimyin de mitzvahs v'torah la'erusin v'nesuin, the comparison of mitzvahs and Torah to betrothal and marriage, v'shnei inyonim, is in two ways. V'yifin ha'mshocha, in terms of the flow, the mode of the flow, sh'amshocha da mitzvahs ba'odom ha'makayimis ha'mitzvah, the way in which the mitzvahs flow in the person keeping the mitzvah, who bevchinas makif, is in a surrounding way, as we have here, erusin, betrothal, v'amshocha de Torah ba'adam, and the flow of Torah to the person, or oisik b'Torah, who's learning Torah, ubepnimius, is inward, as we've said, nisuit, marriage, kanal, as we mentioned. V'gam, then there's another difference. V'amshocha atzma, the actual flow in itself. The flow of Torah is of a higher order. Here we've used the same color for the outer flow and the inner flow, but actually it's something of a higher and more inward order than the flow of the mitzvahs. So much so, in mystical texts, Kabbalah and Chassidus, you often have the idea of the difference between front and back, face and back, ponim ba'ochel. And so ponim is that which expresses, and ochel, face, and the back, like the back of the head, doesn't express. You look at the back of someone's head, you can't tell what they are feeling or thinking, whereas if you look at someone's face, they're giving you a lot of feedback about what is going on in their mind. So in the same way, the flow of mitzvahs, in a sense, is like the back of the head, because you don't know. You're doing the mitzvah, but it's not communicating with you necessarily in the same way. It's something you're doing, maybe with Kabbalah soul. Maybe, as we discussed previously, there are mitzvahs that we don't understand necessarily, or in a sense we don't understand. So the mitzvah is not in itself saying what it's about, whereas Torah is revealing, it's expressing something. So that's why the mitzvah, now there are other discourses which talk about the mitzvah is actually the higher mode of relationship with God, because the mitzvah is where we're connecting with God on a level which is higher than our intellect and so on. However, in this particular maimah, which is focusing on Shavuos, which is Matan Torah, where we get the Torah, at this moment it's Torah which is in the spotlight. You know, so sometimes the Maimah will focus on this, and sometimes the Maimah will focus on that. Usually what you're doing at this moment is the peak and the most important thing for which the entire universe was created. So therefore we're moving towards Shavuos, so at this moment it's the actual focus on Torah. So, and therefore, Hamshocha the Torah, Dugmas Hamshochas Hatipa Nisuin. That's why the flow of Torah is like the flow of the seminal drop, Nisuin, in marriage, Yamshocha Atzmis, which is a flow from the very essence of godliness. So the mitzvah is indeed a very spiritual flow and something very wonderful, but the Torah, the quality of Torah here, is something of tremendous significance. And there's something of the essence which is being transmitted. So if I just write the word essence over there, so that gives us the idea that there is some extra dimension there. The yesh loyman, one can also add, shegam inyan zeh berumis bevesent chalkeinu v'sodos echor, it's hinted that in these words, put a portion in your Torah, de beloshen chalkeinu, shnei inyonim. The word chalkeinu, our portion, has two meanings. Shahatorah nasis chalkeinu di Yisrael, that the Torah is part of God, of the Jewish people. The Torah becomes our Torah and it's part of us. And also, shehi chelik ma'kadosh baruch hu, that the Torah is part of God. V'kasha'ata toifes b'chelik min ha'etzem, that when you grasp a little bit of the essence, ata toifes b'kulo, you're grasping the entire essence. Now, this mirrors something at the beginning of Tanya, chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Tanya, which talks about the way there is a flow of tzugazut, that there's a flow of godliness which is flowing down into the words and the ideas and the teachings of Tanakh, and the explanations of the sages and the Mishnah and the Talmud and the Halacha, so that when we're learning an idea in Torah, we're actually getting something which is infinitely exalted. And in chapter 5 of Tanya, it talks about the way that that idea which is in one's mind is being enveloped by one's mind. And the idea is enveloping one's mind at the same time, and in a tremendous way we are unified with the very essence of God. So there we have that idea of Torah really being an incredible bonding focus on godliness. And so here the way in which it's presented is that the mitzvah is a preparation for this deep bond which is there from Torah within. Gimel. V'yesh lahosif, and one can add, the idea that sanctifies with your commandments is an introduction to the next part, to the idea of putting our portion in your Torah. That's one of the reasons for the idea that before the going out of Egypt, we have Parshas HaChodesh, which is in a boy where God says, and Moshe tells the Jewish people, this month should be for you the beginning of the month, and then a whole thing about Kiddush HaChodesh and making the Korban Pesach, all various mitzvahs. Sheyesh bo kama v'kama mitzvahs. There are a number of mitzvahs in that section that were told to the Jewish people. Shenogos l'doiris v'nimnis b'minyan ha-mitzvahs. And those mitzvahs are actually relevant through the generations, and they're among the 613 mitzvahs. It's not only going out of Egypt. It continues. Kib yetzias mitzrayim huschala inyan de matan Torah. Going out of Egypt was actually the beginning of matan Torah. V'lechein, and therefore the beginning of the giving of the Torah. And therefore, lifnei yetzias mitzrayim nitztava b'chama mitzvahs. Therefore, before going out of Egypt, they were commanded a number of mitzvahs. That was like the Kiddushin, that's the ring. God putting the ring on our finger is telling us to make the Korban Pesach and to sanctify the new moon of Nisan. This was the preparation, the Inyan, the Matan Torah, for actually the giving of Torah, Sheitzchel, B'Yitzchitz Yitzchayim, which began then at that point. And after that, after coming out of Egypt, they got more mitzvahs. Nitztavu Eser mitzvahs b'Morah. When they came to Morah, the stopping place, they got a further 10 mitzvahs. Shezer hoya achona lamatan Torah b'poil, and that was in itself a preparation for the giving of the Torah. In fact, they got Shabbos at Morah. Ubechlalas yosi yesh loyma, and in more general terms, one can say, the fact that the Torah begins with the whole idea of Bereshis, which is explained by Rashi, Mushum Koyach Maisel Higid La'amoy L'Seislem Nachlas Koyim, that God tells us that He created the world in order that we should know His power so as to make us inherit the land of Israel. That itself, the coming of Bereshis before the laws of the Torah, is in itself an introduction of mitzvahs before the Torah, because most of the mitzvahs connect on the land of Israel, which is that Nachlas Goyim. So in other words, what it seems to be saying here, this last point, that the fact that the Torah begins with the word Bereshis, which, as Rashi explains, is in order to establish, not just the word Bereshis, but the whole idea of God creating the world, is to establish and emphasize the claim of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, that claim is something which has to do with mitzvahs. So right at the beginning of the Torah, you have the idea of mitzvahs, and then after that comes Torah in itself. So there's always this theme, which is like doubled up here, but the theme of the mitzvahs which come before the giving of the Torah. Simpler is the main construct, that going out of Egypt, first of all, before we actually left Egypt, we have the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, and of sanctifying the new moon, of making the month of Nisan, and then of coming out of Egypt, we got more mitzvahs. So all those mitzvahs are the ring of Kiddushin. That's the betrothal which we had, and then we come through the 49 days of the Omer to Matan Torah at Mount Sinai, receiving the Torah, and that is the marriage. Bottom of the page, v'yesh loyma, one can suggest shazer gam ma'atam yamal zeh shekoydim chagashvuz ma matan Torah seinu. This is also one of the reasons that before the festival of Shavuos, which is the time of getting the Torah, yeshlam kama v'kama mitzvahs miyuchadus. There are a number of particular mitzvahs, ha mitzvahs de chagamatzahs, ha mitzvahs sfira sa'oyma, the chagapesach, so that the mitzvah of keeping Pesach, with all kinds of different mitzvahs, getting rid of chometz and so on, eating matzah, then there's the mitzvah of counting the Omer, the chamoy shebechol yoyim, just as in every single day, when a person becomes a new creation, waking up in the morning, when is the main learning of Torah? Usually it's a second stage in the day. First of all, we kept a number of mitzvahs. Kriya Shema, Tfilin, Tfilah. We said the Shema, we put on Tfilin, which are Midoraisa, that's Tfilah. The text of the Tfilah is Midrabanan, but the basic concept of Tfilah is itself Midoraisa. Al derech zeh b'smani hashana. And so, wait a minute. And then, in the day, so we do various mitzvahs, giving stocker before davening. We do various mitzvahs. Then, we have the learning of Torah during the day. So there's mitzvahs, then Torah, betrothal, then marriage. Al derech zeh b'zmanei hashana. Similarly, in the times of the year, shebechaga Pesach b'chol shana v'shana, the festival of Pesach every year, who leidus Yisrael, that's the birth of the Jewish people. Shela'achrei kiyum ha-mitzvahs ha-miyuchadus d'zmanei meilu, and after keeping the mitzvahs particular to those times, mitzvahs dechaga Pesach, u'dimei sfira sa'oymer, the mitzvahs of Pesach and counting the Omer, then comes zman matan Torah seinu, the time of the giving of the Torah, which is marriage. U'mamshich ba'maima, and it continues in the discourse, just the same way that the betrothal of a human man and woman who is that the man gives the woman something, pruto, which is a coin worth a pruto, or a shove pruto, or something else at least worth a shove pruto, when the chosen gives the ring to the bride under the chuppah. So first of all, you have two witnesses. So the two witnesses are also looking at this ring, and the rabbi who is being Masada Kedushim says to them, do you think this ring is worth a pruta? And they're supposed to say yes, and then the chosen puts it on her finger. However, I heard a certain interesting gentleman in our community who, when he was asked, do you think this ring is worth a pruta? He said, I don't know. And this caused a bit of a problem for a while. I'm not a ring merchant. What do I know about ring? That's one of the reasons why the Chabad custom is, or many customs, is not to have a jewel in the ring, because the jewel, there you have to be like an expert to know, is this jewel just a piece of glass, or is it really a sapphire or whatever, or a diamond? Whereas if it's just a ring, just like a pure gold ring, with it's less ambiguous.
But isn't the thing meant to be worth at least a
proof? Yeah, at least a proof.
Yeah.
If you've got a jewel, it's going to be more.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, I suppose you might say that it's, if it's just a piece of, plastic glass, not even glass, but plastic. I mean, nowadays...
Jewelry goes up and down more. It's just solid silver. It's a much more solid price.
But David's saying it's going to be at least a pruta anyway.
Yeah, but they do it because it's got to be like it's a fixed amount.
Oh, you mean so there's...
Because diamonds go up and down, and they cut diamonds sometime this and sometime that. Mm-hmm.
Proto's a small amount.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the smallest coin.
So anything class a jewel is going to be worth more, as you say.
Well, I mean,
but
we're not working on the
minimum. Answer that. You don't need more. You want it to be clear that it's a Shovel Proto.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
It's got to be absolutely clear. Must be something where it's, if you give something, it's a diamond and it's glass.
It's not the value of it, like the value of the cut. A diamond is the value of the cut.
There might be a symbolic thing of constancy. You know, that it's got a more genuine value.
Mm.
If the jewel has got like a fluctuating value, like Mendes saying, so it's an unreliable.
An intrinsic value.
Yeah, you're paying for how common the diamond is and what kind of cut it is, which jewellery it's from.
But what David's saying is, what relevance is it whether it's got a stone or not? Whatever the stone is, the thinnest band of gold that there is, it's going to be worth a pruta. So what does it matter if you've dumped a diamond, a plastic, whatever, on top of it or not? It's irrelevant. You want it to be at least a pruta. It is at least a pruta, regardless if it's got a stone in or not.
It is. It's a pruta. It is. But the reason why they do it, because they want it to be a fixed value, like the value of the thing itself, as opposed to a value of something else.
But the expression which Tally used, and lots of other people have used, is at least a pruta.
Yeah.
At least a pruta. So it is at least a pruta. Yeah. Now you're coming and saying, oh, it's a fix, it's got
to
be a fix.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But
what's
there's
at least a pruta?
There's like another flavour. There are what's other flavours with it. You know, I mean, obviously, any ring, you could say, is going to be worth a pruta, whether it's got a stone or not a stone. But there's going to be some further connotations, you know, so there's...
So they want everything to be clear, that it's a face value. You need an expert to look at a diamond, right? And also, probably there's some elements of, like in all rabbinical things, they want everybody to have the same thing. Poor people and rich people. So if people started putting expensive diamonds in,
would it make it easier?
You know.
The guy would say, yes, it's definitely worth it.
But there's no inion of giving somebody a ring worth £1 million.
Yeah, but it's at least a pruta. So if it's more, then you've got no doubt. The guy can't come along and say, I don't know if it's worth at least a pruta.
You can marry someone with a diamond ring, yes.
Yeah. He's going to say, I know it's worth at least a pruta. I don't have to know it's worth £1 million.
You could give a guitar.
Yeah.
You're allowed to marry someone with a diamond ring.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I mean, there are a host of customs.
Yes.
Now.
Can't give a check, though.
No, that's right.
You can't give
because
a check.
The check is not in itself worth
value.
That's the point of the diamond. Why the reason the custom is the diamond is worth £1 million, let's say, but it is not worth £1 million. The cut is £1 million, and the things about it make it worth £1 million, but it itself could be worth very little. At least the
price. All right. Well, I mean, you could spoil the diamond, but it's okay. Now, umam shech ba maimon. So there he is. So there is this idea. This is what is continued in the maimon of the Rebbe Marash. That just the same way that when one is actually giving kiddushin, it is something which is worth something. Sheboy he yuchol liknois chay nafsha. With this thing, whatever it is, this silver or gold ring, she is able to buy something which will keep her alive. She can buy food with that with that present that she's been given by her chosn. Al derech zeh b'nagel zeh shakadosh baruch hu kitshon b'mitzvoso. This applies also to the fact that God sanctified us with His mitzvahs. Shal yedei kiyum mitzvahs, because by keeping the mitzvahs. Life force is drawn to the person who keeps the mitzvahs. As it's written in the verse, a person keeps mitzvahs and he lives through them, that mitzvahs give us life. So in other words, the mitzvahs, this outer circle, the betrothal, the mitzvah that God has given us, that gives us life, like in the same way that the present, whatever it is, a gold ring or something or other that the man gives the woman and betroths her, that she can use that in order to buy food with. So the mitzvah is giving us life. Now you might say, is that what the purpose of mitzvahs are? V'hagam sh'mitzvah se'meretzoyna elyon, even though mitzvahs are the upper will of God, the rotzin u'b'chinas soivev, the will is something which surrounds sh'mitzadatzmoy kodishum uvdumo elemois, which in itself is something separate, it's something beyond the worlds, right? So this circle of the mitzvahs represents that as well. It's beyond the world. So how do you say that the mitzvah gives life? Mikol nokum, nonetheless. Nimshuch me'ozeh chayis la'odom shemekayim ha'mitzvah. There comes from this radiance of the mitzvahs which surrounds the world, comes a life force to the person who's keeping the mitzvah, and that's a chayis pnimi, an inner life force. So therefore the mitzvahs are actually giving us something within us as well. Uchamuvan gamizeh sha'or shenimshuch al-yedeh mitzvahs, as is also understood by the idea that the radiance which is drawn through carrying out the mitzvahs, payal, has an effect loyrak b'machshava dibu u'maisa shaloi, not only on the thought and the speech and the action of the person, elegam b'hamidus, they have an effect on the emotions of the person. V'ad b'harotzain, even affecting the will of the person. V'tainuk shaboy, and the delight of the person. So the mitzvah in itself flows into the person and does have a profound inner effect as well. Uchamuv la'el, as is we quoted above, ma'amaima, from the discourse, shal yedei ha'mitzvahs na'aseh muvdol ma'ataybos. Because that through the mitzvahs we become the locked garden, we become separated from negative desires. U'mikol midas haras, and from all bad emotions. Or she'inyan oidim pischein, and the idea of locking the gates, shenas al yedei mitzvahs, which happens through the mitzvahs, who she'ein lo tainug elav elokus, that one's delight is only in godliness. So that means that the mitzvahs that we do, in some sense, is focusing our delight, our power of delight, in the right direction. Elo shekol zehu rak b'chitzon yisalei. But with the mitzvahs, that's only the external part of the heart. And isn't yet accepted and absorbed within the very inner depth of one's heart. And therefore, at this stage of the mitzvah, she's called betrothed and not yet married. Now we can understand, this was the initial question of the whole discourse. Now we can understand, we can explain the translation of the Targum, Shegan Nol Koy Al Gan Eden. That when it says a locked garden, it means the Garden of Eden. She'iv Shalikanis Boy Kim Navshes HaTzadikim, which cannot be entered except by the souls of the Tzadikim, the righteous. Ki Inyin Do'egdim Pischein Be'ofen Anal, because the idea of closing the door in this way, the way that we describe, shegama tainuk shuloy rak belukus, that even one's delight is only focused on God, who al yedei hamshochas ha'or milamayla, al yedei kiyum ha'mitzvahs, is through the idea of drawing down a radiance from above, which is achieved through keeping the mitzvahs. V'lechein ha'moshul al zeh, and that's why the metaphor for this is, humi gan Eden, is the Garden of Eden. Tainug eleki shemilamayla, a delight, a godly delight which comes from beyond. So therefore this circle of the mitzvahs is actually a kind of radiance of the Garden of Eden, which is there, given to the person through the mitzvahs which come from God. The Yeshloima, one can suggest, the fact he quotes in the discourse at the beginning, Pirush HaTagum, that explanation from the Targum, who it is, ki Pirush Zeh, who are you soy? This explanation is really the foundation, Lahabir Sheba Maima, of the further explanation in the discourse, Sho'egdim Pischein, who inin katshenu b'mitzvah secha, the idea that the keeping of the entrance locked is the idea of sanctifying us with his mitzvahs. So the sanctifying us with God's mitzvahs, in fact, is giving us something of the radiance and the fragrance of the Garden of Eden. And that enables us to to have this betrothed quality. And being betrothed already has some effect, not only on what we are thinking and speaking about and doing, which is what the practicality of the mitzvahs are, but also on the way we feel and the way in which our inner desires move, because the mitzvahs are helping to focus them on something spiritual. And then we're able to come to the next stage, which is actually absorbing Torah, which will be at Matan Torah. Hey. And with greater depth, one could suggest as follows. First of all, presenting the idea, which is discussed at length in the discourse of the Rebbe Marash, the idea that give us your portion in your Torah, give us our portion in your Torah, which is the idea of marriage, because at first sight, in this discourse, the locked garden is sanctified with your mitzvahs. Why does he have to explain the idea of give us your portion in your, give us our portion in your Torah? Surely we're just focusing on the locked garden, which is the idea of the mitzvahs. But one can suggest a simple explanation. The reason why he's explaining in the discourse, giving our portion in your Torah, it's actually the second part of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is the locked garden. The second part of it is the locked spring, this locked fountain, which is in the next part of the verse. The is of a midrash, because we learn in the midrash, gan no'ul elu hapsulus, gal no'ul elu habu'ulus. Now it's talking in terms of marriage. Gan no'ul is the unmarried girl, who is at this moment only betrothed. Gal no'ul elu habu'ulus, and the next phrase, which is the Galnol, which as we saw in Rashi has got different ways of translating it, the locked gate, the locked fountain, that is the Be'ulus, that is the married woman, Umavaya Tzemach Tzedek, as the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe explains in a discussion of Song of Songs, the Galnol, the locked garden, who Bechinas Arusa. The locked garden is betrothal. The Galnol, who Bechinas Nesua, and the locked fountain or the locked gateway, that is marriage. The Yesh Kashim Zen, and one could also connect this in Pirush at Tzemach Tzedek with the way the Tzemach Tzedek explains the Gal Nol, that the words Gal relates, the locked Gal, Hu Inyan Gal Einai. Now this relates to the idea of Lag Ba'Omer. There's a beautiful discourse on Lag Ba'Omer which begins on this verse. Gal Einai Va'abita Niflos Mitodesecho. Open my eyes, reveal my eyes, and I will look at the oneness from your Torah. Now Gal is Lamed Gimel, like the 33rd day of the Omer. It has to do with the special spiritual significance of Lag Ba'Omer. So ki ika inyan hanisuin, because the special quality of marriage, yu lasid lovoi, this quality of marriage of the Jewish people and God, that will be in the future, when we have the real open my eyes and I will look at wonders from your Torah. The feature oz yagilu de pnimis haTorah, because then there will be the revelation of the inwardness of Torah. So in other words, we have the stage of the locked garden, which is the betrothed person. And then we have the galnol, which is the next stage of actual marriage. But since this discourse of the Rebbe Maharash, which is continuing from the earlier discourse about matzah and pesach, is only talking about the locked garden, the galnol, and in fact, the explanation of the second part of the verse is in the next maimah, which is chapter 17. You see, we're going through a kind of the Maimah, this long Hemshech from the Rebbe Maharash, and the explanation, the next part of the verse, which is talking about the locked fountain, that's in the next Maimah. So therefore, Mr. Beloimah, one could say, that the reason why in this discourse it's explaining, give us your portion, our portion in your Torah, because through talking about give us our portion in your Torah, we understand more clearly what is the locked garden. Because through the service of the locked garden, which is Katshenu b'mitzvah secho, being betrothed with God's mitzvahs, boim, we come after that to v'seinu kenu b'sara secho, give us your portion, our portion in your Torah, klita b'pnimius, a absorption in an inner way, who, and how does this process proceed? The fisha amshochad ha-mitzvahs, because the flow of the mitzvahs, Shal yoga nasi akedushin, and through which the kedushin is achieved, he be'ofen devachai behem, is in such a way that through the mitzvahs we get life. Bechayas pnimi, with an inward life force. Elo shegila inyan zeh, but the revealing of this, hu banasuin, is in marriage. That's when we really get the quality of the inwardness of the life force, which comes next, with God giving us our portion in His Torah, which is the next part of the process, and actually by the Rebbe Maharash is discussed in the next Maimah in the series. Yeah, you see, this Maimah is Prokim 14, 15, and 16 in the Rebbe Maharash. Parsha Shmini was earlier, chapter 13, and then the next Maimah is going to be chapter 17 going on. Okay, last section. V'zeu ganol galnol, that is the locked garden, the locked fountain, the galnol ha'avodah d'kiyum ha'mitzvah. The locked garden is the service of keeping mitzvahs. The galnol and the locked fountain, who esek ha-Torah, is actual study of Torah. Or v'shrat pnimius ha-Torah, and especially the inward dimension of Torah. Or shtei avodas tzichus lois ba'ofen de melechatchila riba. And both of these kinds of service have to be in such a way of melechatchila riba. Ka'eros ba'al yoyma ha-ledes, as was taught by the Rab Shmuel, the Maharash, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose birthday it is on Beis Iyar. Now, that idea of Melechatchila Riba is a famous concept which comes from the Rebbe Maharash and which our Rebbe made famous as a approach to life, that the Welt sagt, the world says, as Mekenish Darunter geht man a Riba, that if you can't go under, then you go over. And ich sag, but I say, Melechatchila Riba, from the beginning you go over. In other words, you have a totally positive attitude, you think big, you immediately start, you're building a school, build it for 1,000 pupils, you've only got 20 pupils at this minute, but you're gonna have 1,000. You know? So, so it's this whole concept of a totally positive, dynamic view, and using vast resources. Don't just go, take a loan for £1 million and do build something which needs to be built. So this concept of breadth in one's approach to things. This comes from a saying of the Rebbe Maharash, but it's applied as a lifestyle. Particularly by our Rebbe, and also linked to a melody which is also from the Rebbe Maharash, and so therefore the melody is called Melechatchila Riba, and it's a famous melody, very often sung at Verbrengen's with the Rebbe, Melechatchila Riba. So Ariba over, Melechatchila from the beginning, go over. You see, you can go under. you can like deal with, let's say you have a barrier, so you try to get under the barrier, you know, you try to do things in a like just enough, you know, minimal way, not cause too much interruption, or now if you can't do it that way, so you'll have to go over. But the Rebbe Maharash said, but I say melechatchila, from the beginning go over, do it in a totally using all your energy, all your force right from the beginning. So so that is a very important approach to life.
Is it Yiddish?
Melechatchila Rebbe, yeah. A river is Yiddish. Unta, arunta, and a river. Val derech zeh hu bahiluch de yelchu mechayel el chayel, and similarly with the concept of going from strength to strength, the idea of going on higher and higher levels, achieving more and more, mahadaga de eros in ganol, from the level of betrothal, the locked garden, ladagan in Asuyin, till you come to the level of marriage, which is the locked fountain, shahiluch va'aliyah, that the walking and the ascent, tzrichim liyos, they have to be ba'ofen de lechatchila river, in a way of going more and more and more, of from the beginning going over, like in a tremendously powerful, confident way. Ubi isarusa de la sata isarusa de la eila, and responding to the arousal from below, our human arousal, comes the arousal from above, from God, shegam ham shochavagilu milamayla, that also the flow and the revelation from above, shal yidei avodei seilu, which is through these kinds of service that we do, tia lechatchila ariba, God should respond in a lechatchila ariba way, that he should give us infinite bounty and abundance, gam be'erech ha-lechatchila ariba da'avodes ha'odom, similar, the same way that the person goes in a way of lechatchila ariba, so even more so, and beyond that, should be the lechatchila ariba of God. The noisef is there, because in addition to the idea that when the service is in a way of I made the effort, as I umatsosi, then I found, there's a famous saying, yogaiti umatsosi taimin, I made the effort and I achieved, believe that. Whereas any other combination, I didn't make an effort and I achieved, or I made the effort and I didn't achieve, don't believe that. But I made the effort and I achieved, believe that, taimin. The metzia husha, but the word metzosi, it's not just I achieved, it's I found. And I found umatsia. The matsia shaloy lefi erech hayegia. Finding something means you achieve something on a level quite beyond the effort that you made. Shahari matsia bo behesach hadas. Because finding something comes when you don't think that you're going to find something. You're walking in the street and suddenly you find something which is very valuable. So that you didn't think that you were going to find it. Hamatzia gufa hi ba'ofen de lechatchila ariba. The concept of the finding is itself melechatchila ariba. And so therefore, through this service that we have, and going in a way of melechatchila ariba, God will respond in a way which is absolutely beyond our effort. Vihi rotzen, and may it be the will of Hashem, shal yedei adibu b'inyonim elu, that through speaking about these things, ubefrat al yedei avodah b'zeh, and especially through the service in this, we should be zoicha, we should merit very soon to the future redemption. Then it will be the fulfillment of katshenu b'mitzvah secho v'secho kenu v'sera secho, of sanctifying us with your commandments, and give our portion in your Torah. Shleimus ha-mitzvahs, the wholeness of mitzvahs, and which means v'shom na'ase lefanecho mitzvahs, that there in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, we will carry out before you the mitzvahs of your will with the Beis HaMikdash, or Shleimus HaTorah, and the wholeness of Torah, Torah Chadosha Mi'iti Teitze, a new Torah which will come from me, says Hashem, in the time of Mashiach, deeper and deeper revelations called Torosu Shem Mashiach, V'chol Zayir Ba'ofen Deloi Ikvan Afiru Ke'eref Ayin, and all this should be in a way that God didn't delay them even by an eye blink, V'zeh Gufa, and that in itself, Ba'ofen Delechatchila Ribba, in a way of going from the beginning, going over in a total way, Shaloi Ikvan Afiru Ke'eref Ayin, that God didn't delay them even for a moment, mamash, mamash. This is Lechat Chilam Rabban.
Yeah.